Welcome again, everyone, to StartZone Inside Tech. I'm Rika, host of this podcast, and we have, as usual, Kari Taki, StartZone's Head of Growth, co-hosting with me. Today, we are joined by Juha Stenberg from eMabler, a Finnish company offering EV charging solutions. The EV charging sector is speeding up at an impressive speed. In just 1 year, the number of global public charging points increased to 2.7 million. It's a 55% growth from the previous year. The financial narrative is also quite striking, I would say. The market for charging infrastructure was valued at $7.9 billion in 2022, and it's expected to quadruple to more than $30 billion by 2032. And we have to keep in mind that those numbers are discussing public charging points only, while, as we know, 80% of EV owners are actually charging at home. So the market potential can be much bigger than those numbers I mentioned before. And the software business is driving this market forward, especially platforms like those developed by eMabler. So I guess without further delay, let's meet our guest of honor, Juha from eMabler. Welcome to our podcast, Juha.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Maybe Juha, you tell a little bit of yourself and eMabler, what you guys do.
All right. I have been in the EV charging since 2011. I started at Nordic energy company called Fortum. It was the time before electric vehicles. It was actually just before the first Nissan Leaf was launched, the version number one. And at that time, role at Fortum was to look at the market and what are the opportunities and also challenges that energy companies will face when electric vehicles are coming to the market. That led to a couple famous companies in this sector, Recharge, which is a Nordic CPO focusing on, so charge point operator focusing on mainly on the public and destination charging, and then also Plug Surfing, which is a software platform to manage electric vehicle charging services. Then different turns in my career. I was e-mobility consultant when Virta was founded. It was founded by 18 energy companies in Finland. Now, of course, it's a very global, and let's say the ownership structure has changed quite a lot. But then that was the time when Virta was founded. I worked in the consulting company, which was facilitating the project. Before eMabler, I worked for EV charger manufacturer, who is doing the physical products, so the chargers. I was there for about 5 years, and I was leading that business when electric vehicles chargers were sold mainly to Europe, but also to other parts of the world. Then founded eMabler with a co-founder just before Corona. The idea for eMabler came from basically my experience or our experience, how we saw the market developing at that point. Already the Nordic market and especially Norway was a little bit ahead of other markets, and there was a need for customers to integrate electric vehicle charging service to their existing offering. Let's say parking operator, they already have the parking sites. And now when the, more and more people are using electric vehicle charging and electric vehicles, they are thinking, okay, how do we combine these two services? And therefore, we founded eMabler with the vision to build an open platform. By open platform, we mean that we manage the electric vehicle charging service and the energy related to the service. But then we have open interfaces and connectors to other systems that the companies already have. And these systems can be CRMs, ERPs, mobile applications, billing systems, loyalty systems. So there are many different types of systems where our customers want to integrate the service. The other learning was that looking at the Norway is that most of the charging actually happens in so-called private locations. Private locations means homes and workplaces. Of course, public charging is important when you drive longer distances, and especially in the early stages when the battery is a little bit smaller, you also needed to charge vehicle in public places. But fundamentally, if we look at now the Norway, yeah, as the introduction said, 80% of the charging happens at private locations. So that's what we see in Norway. People are, you know, used to charge their car when it's standing still at the home or at the workplace. So that's, these were the two things that kind of like, you know, were the foundations when we were founding in Mabler, that our customers want to integrate the service to existing, and then the private charging is extremely important in the whole ecosystem. And now we have been live with our product for about 2 years. Our home office is in Helsinki. Most of the customers are outside of Finland. Finland is fairly advanced when it comes to the e-mobility, but if you look at the whole Nordic market, Nordic market is globally leading in many parameters in this business. So our biggest market is Norway, but yeah, Nordic as combined is clearly the biggest. And then we have customers also in other parts of the Europe. So that's a nice background for us.
May I ask about the name Immebler? Like, is there any meaning or like specific stories behind the name?
Well, there's always, I guess, in the company names, it's kind of like how the other companies. First, you start with the, you know, the business idea and what shall we do? And then you have a project name, or you maybe don't even have a project name. But then our name basically means enabling e-mobility. So it's a kind of like combining this enabling, because we are enabling different things. We are enabling that you can connect to different business systems. We are enabling EV charging. We are enabling different value-added services. And e-mobility is the area where we operate. So that's kind of like the reason for the company name.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was looking through your like offerings, what you are able to enable in a sense, and yeah, that was quite a lot of things around there. Indeed, it was, they took a while to figure out what you guys do are actually are doing.
Yeah, well, it's fair to say that, I mean, the market is still young. I mean, the growth numbers for the market are looking really promising, and of course every company needs to constantly consider, and like, you know, what is your product market fit? What are the services and products you do in-house? What are the services and products you let your partners to do? And kind of like, what is your role in this ecosystem? When the market, electric vehicle charging market started, 10 years ago, it was quite common that the first companies in this business were offering full end-to-end solutions. We call them vertical platforms. So basically, you have the whole business logic built in one system, and companies were offering that. That is, of course, a fast way to go to the market, but then, of course, it has certain setbacks. When the business volume grows, you want to differentiate, you want to introduce new services, you want to use the data, you want to do several things, and different companies have different strategies. And then these vertical platforms are not best possible solution for that. Definitely there is a role for different type of platforms, because, you know, the market is young, there will be different type of products on the market, and they will find their way. But, you know, there is different use cases. And our customers, basically, when we talk with them, they have a certain needs, quite common, let's say, use cases, how they want to go forward. And then we are fit for those customers. But then, of course, there are some customers that are not in our focus area, and our product might not be suitable for those. But we are focusing basically electric vehicles. Well, charge point management system is the common term used in the market. So we have a platform that manages the charging network, the electricity in the charging network, the chargers. We don't sell or manufacture chargers ourselves, so we integrate with the different market players. There are plenty of different brands on the market, and we are integrated to those. And then we manage the chargers and electricity, and do some price setting can be done with our billing engine and pricing engine, and but then fundamentally things that we leave out is the CRM and the ERP functionality mobile apps, because our customers are having those systems already in their IT infrastructure, and we integrate with those.
All right. Yeah, and yeah, you mentioned like for you the biggest market is the Nordic market, that's it's kind of running ahead of the development in a sense. But then what are kind of the biggest challenges in the EV charging area from your point of view at the moment on the market?
Well, I would say that a little bit different challenges depending on the market maturity. So, for example, looking at the Nordic, this is already in the growth phase. So some of our customers have thousands of chargers that they operate with our platform. And they kind of like already are quite deep into their business. They kind of like go to the version number 3, for planning version number 4 and things like that. And then if we talk with some customers who are from markets that are not so developed, the need is might be a little bit different. And of course, kind of like what we try to do is that we try to show to our customers in all markets that, okay, this is the direction where we think the market is heading, and you don't need to do all the unnecessary steps and mistakes that the early markets have done, but you can bypass those with us. Then the other thing is, of course, the regulation. Recently, the EU announced their regulation, which kind of like clarifies things, which is always good, because as long as there are uncertainties on the market, what will be required, what will be the regulation, it causes delays. So in a way, regulation is both positive and negative. Positive, definitely, it kind of like sets the framework how to operate. Not always the regulation is, however, maybe the wisest possible. Look at, for example, payments. Just recently in the EU, there was a regulation announced that, okay, for certain type of public chargers, you need to have, for example, credit card readers, and people need to be able to pay for the EV charging with their plastic credit card, which is, yes, I fundamentally understand that is a good idea. This bypasses the need of several different mobile apps, sometimes expensive roaming, and these things that are not good working well at the moment. But then on the other hand, if you look at the payments in general, different EU markets are a little bit in different phase when it comes to the payments. For example, in Nordics, credit cards, the physical credit cards is not very commonly used. People are going to the more different type of online payment systems and things like that. So kind of like, you know, sometimes when the regulation is set, it maybe not always matches the market requirements or circumstances that where the market operates. For example, with the payments, but definitely the market has come quite a long way from the start in specifying certain elements of electric vehicle charging, starting from the actual physical chargers and different type of sockets that you should offer to your customers. Because in the beginning, there were several different type of physical sockets in the chargers, and the car, the vehicles had different type of sockets. So it was quite a mess in the beginning. So lots of good things has happened with the regulations, and it has set a good ground for that. And then it's of course good to note that the EU's, let's say Europe is one region. Then we have different type of situation in the US and in the China, which are, let's say, the three regions normally referred to in electric vehicle charging. China is totally different when it comes to the standards and ecosystem. And then US, a little bit behind Europe, probably catching up quite fast, has made some different decisions on certain elements that Europe has made. So there are certain, especially in the hardware side. When we go to the software level, then the common elements are more common. So that's of course a good thing for us, but for the hardware, there are certain different elements. But as the introduction said, you know, the market is growing really fast, and it will be substantially larger, let's say, in 10 years or even in 5 years. So of course, this will put certain requirements on different companies like us to select, so to say, the areas where you focus and be really good in those, and maybe bypass some opportunities that are not in your core area. Then the other thing is that what the market, I mean, there are always kind of like question marks. One is that what is the role of OEMs, so the car manufacturers, in this business? Because of course their business will fundamentally change with the electric vehicles. You know, after sales services will be different. Some of them are already in the electric vehicle charging in the public side. Some car manufacturers are also entering the private side, so homes and offices. Some are turning themselves also into selling electricity. So there's, you know, some of the big players in this ecosystem have maybe not yet decided what will be their final role. So you need to be kind of like agile and humble and look how the market will develop.
Yeah, that is true. Market is changing, and yeah, especially hardware side standards are evolving, and nobody knows which one wins there. But also for your type of company, requires you to really keep eyes on where the market is going to make the right decisions. But one thing what came to my mind, the question, like at the moment in the current situation, who are actually your customers? You mentioned charging point operators, I think, earlier. Is that your main customer group, or do you have other type of customers also at the moment?
Yeah, well, we have a couple customer segments, you could call them. One is clear segment is electricity, energy companies who are selling electricity. Because these companies already have a client relationship, so with the end user, with the driver. So they already are selling energy and electricity to these customers. And now, since the consumers are switching to electric vehicles, it's quite natural that quite many energy companies are looking at this market, that how they will introduce services. And the fundamental reason how we see energy companies is that it's not only selling the electricity and the charging service, but it's the energy management, because we have to remember that at the same time we are experiencing this energy transition when more and more renewable energy sources are built, so wind, solar, for example, and this brings volatility to the energy system. So energy companies and, you know, actors in the energy market, they need to get more hold on controllable loads, kind of like, you know, balance the production and consumption, because that needs to be stable all the time. So electric vehicles are a good way to balance the consumption. Later on, it will also bring in the local storage, so the batteries. So electric vehicles are, of course, also storage, because there is a, let's say, 70 kilowatt hour battery in the vehicle, and then if you can do bi-directional charging, so you can take electricity out of the battery, it will also change the market. That is something that is still coming. It is available in the fast charging, so direct current chargers, but fundamentally the big opportunity will be in when, you know, every time the car is parked somewhere, is it the home, is it the office, workplace, you can control the charging powers, but then eventually also do the bi-directional charging. So energy companies definitely one segment to us, which we are focusing And then we also have customers in the parking side, so parking operators, we call them. So these companies who are managing parking facilities and selling parking service to the consumers. And now when the cars are turning electric, some of the first ones were kind of like offering two services. One was the parking, and then if you had an electric vehicle, then you had another interface, another payment method for the charging. And of course, charging now when it gets more popular, they are looking at ways to integrate these two services to one interface, one invoice, and so on. So parking operators definitely one area. But then we also see that retail, supermarket, the same thing. Maybe the basic need is to get customers to buy groceries, for example, from their store. They have already loyalty systems in place. So how do you reward your loyal customers? How you motivate them to download your loyalty apps and start to collect different points? Is electric vehicle charging one, let's say, element to give loyal customer better service so that they spend more time, more money in the supermarkets? And interesting also is the petrol retailers. I mean, petrol retailers, of course, are in the difficult situation when electric vehicles are getting more popular. You don't have that much petrol retailing. But then on the other hand, they have pretty good locations or good locations, already existing locations. So many already have started the process of electrifying their sites so that you can also charge your vehicle. Some of the petrol retailers have really good, let's say, fleet offering for corporate. It's that position that they have for the corporates, maybe even to go to corporates and offer charging service and things like that. So quite many different segments, and I'm sure when the market develops, there will be also others. But those are the segments we currently operate. And of course, we call them EV charging operators, which are purpose-built companies for this business, sometimes built started from zero, and they are focusing on electric vehicle charging, maybe a little bit different segment. And we are then a suitable platform for them to operate that service.
That sounds interesting, and probably it is also very challenging for you guys. Also, I was thinking that the customers are wide variety, but also the competition you mentioned, like that basically there has been end-to-end solutions or vertical wide.
And will be, and will be.
Yeah, and will be. But in some parts, of course, you provide the additional value that they can focus on what is their key business, and you can take over parts of it. But how about the competitive landscape? The customer base is wide variety. How does the competitive landscape look for you guys?
I would say the competitive landscape a little bit depends on the market maturity. So in the more developed market, our customers tend to know pretty precisely what will be their role in this ecosystem, what kind of services they will offer, what targets they are after, and so on. And then when we go to the little bit less developed countries, the customer doesn't always know precisely what is their strategy. Of course, we try to explain from our experience from the Nordic that how we see the market would be developing, could be developing. So that is, let's say, one competitive element, customer not really knowing. Because then if you don't know, you tend to kind of like go to the direction, I want it all, kind of like not really knowing. And to be honest, I don't think that in the market there is single company that can do everything alone by themselves. So this is an ecosystem game in that sense that you have different companies. So that I would say. And of course, I mean, the market is, when market started, EV charging market, the first companies who entered are offering these end-to-end platforms that have everything built in into their platform. We don't do the same because we integrate with the existing IT infrastructure. So then those are, let's say, it's a little bit of customer choice. if they want to have EV charging as a separate business operating in different platform, or do they want to utilize the power of open ecosystem? That I would say is more. We tend to be the only one currently promoting the open ecosystem idea. So it's of course then we are one voice among the others, when maybe the others are more speaking about the closed ecosystem stories. But,
yeah, I think that one is like the end-to-end is bringing also certain challenges in the interoperability also, that when you have end-to-end system, then there's other provider with end-to-end system, and we land to the one of the issues is the interoperability. And yeah, it seems that you are kind of opening the road there to enable also that much better. Yeah.
But as I said, it depends on the customer's strategy and the ambition they have, where they want to go with electric vehicle charging, what is important for them. And if customers regard our strategy with the open platform, open ecosystem, right, then we are definitely the market leader in that area.
Okay, that's very interesting. How about like in general, if we are looking at EV charging industry and around that, in of course those markets which are not so developed, they probably follow a certain level to the more developed markets. But what do you think are the next big things in the markets which are in the head of the development at the moment?
Well, there's of course one thing that has always been kind of like in the air is when the autonomous driving will be reality. Because, I mean, as long as I have been in the industry, it has been said that 5 years. They still say that within 5 years, we start to say, yeah, we have some cases where autonomous driving is dominant. But when it will really take over the private vehicles, the autonomous driving, because, of course, I mean, fundamentally, it makes sense. 95% of the time, or even more, the vehicle is standing by. So why don't you share that resource? That's kind of like, you know, when it will come, which segments will it come? For a certain time, there were some discussions about the hydrogen, even biofuels, were kind of like, you know, a little bit slowing down. But now I think the consensus among all major players is that okay, the cars will be electrified and the charging is needed. So that was kind of like maybe some of the first challenges. All in all, I would say what the market is experiencing is pretty low customer experience. So how easy it is for the end user to find place where they can charge, how easy it is to do the actual charging, how easy it is to pay for the charging and different things, because you know the early adopters in this market, they accepted certain shortcomings in these areas. But now when we see that the early majority, or in some sense late majority, is entering the market, they just want the simplicity. It needs to be simple, reliable to do charging. And that's something that the whole ecosystem needs to work on constantly to improve the user experience. Fundamentally, we think that the technical features will be quite similar to companies. They will have different strategies, but the technical features will be quite similar. But it's the user experience that will be a very important area to focus on.
When do you think it is possible that you plug the car anywhere and it works like the Tesla supercharging, that the charger identifies the car and charges your account, but it wouldn't be depending on the operator anymore?
Well, there is already a technology available to enable that. And as I was saying earlier, that the car manufacturers, they have been a little bit late on deciding on their role in this value chain. So so-called plug and charge, when you just connect and your vehicle is then identified and then the payment goes there and everything runs smoothly. Technology is there, but it's this I would say more is more a business decision than a technical decision. Plug and charge will also bring a lot of other nice things to the market, more information about the battery and the car and the vehicle itself. So of course, using that information, you can do a lot better energy management, for example. You know the status of the battery, and you don't need to estimate, but you can calculate and get the data. So these kind of it's coming. It's one of the things that will definitely come to the market and will take the user experience to the next level.
If we talk about future outlook, future technology, so there's this autonomous car, but there's also this much talk about wireless charging technology. It hasn't reached the mainstream market yet, but many believe that it's going to be the next big thing in the industry. What is your opinion on this? Do you already have a product or innovation that supplements this wireless charging technology, or are you gearing up towards this technology?
Well, when we talk about charging, there are a couple different options. Certain car manufacturers are, for example, talking about battery swapping, that you, instead of charging your battery in the vehicle, you exchange the battery in the car. The challenge with that is that all the batteries are, if you compare it for manufacturers and models, so that would require lots of assets to handle battery swapping. It sounds a nice idea that the batteries are charged at let's say some kind of changing site, and you get fast a new battery underneath your vehicle, and then you continue. But there are challenges that can the car manufacturers agree on certain standards on the batteries. That's one area. But yeah, some are also trialing that and pushing that forward. Then some time ago, there was a lot of discussion, also some discussions about inductive charging, so wireless charging. So you drive your vehicle, or the vehicle will drive itself the last meters to, and then charging is wireless, so no need for the cables. That area has been quite quiet lately, because there are certain challenges like the efficiency and the power it can deliver. Also, that again, the standards of how can you different charge wireless in different models and so on. So there has been, now and then there are these new technologies, but for the moment it looks like the vehicles will be charged with the fixed with the cable, and the standards have been already done for the physical socket, so that seems to be the way. I mean, compare mobile phones. Mm-hmm. Wireless charging has been available for a long time, but I still think that most of the people are using the cable to charge their mobile phones. So.
Interesting talk with you, considering your background. You have been in this industry basically since from the beginning of it, so you have a very good view on it. How the eMapler's like plans for the future, in short, like what are kind of your vision where you guys will be in the coming decade?
Decade is a long time, but I would say that the plan to go forward is, we are happy with the success that we have gained so far. I mean, first, be strong in the home market, which we regard to be the Nordic. Of course, continue here, find new partnerships, new sales channels, new features. There's still a lot to be done, but the start has been good. We already have quite many customers within the Europe, so of course luckily for all the European companies, Europe is advanced in e-mobility, EV charging, so this is a good, so to say, home region to be. But then of course every company should keep an eye on the global market, and how we see is that the US is can prove to be a very lucrative market to be, and enter that. we will do that. Will we do it with the partners or alone? I would guess we will do with the partners to enter that market, because US is fundamentally, let's say, about the same size as Europe. And then, of course, the rest of the world, I mean, it's really fragmented. China, probably for many, let's say, companies like us, is probably a market that they don't look after. But then, of course, Asia has lots of other large markets which can prove to be good to go, say. So market expansion is something, of course, we are looking at. The product will develop. I mean, of course, we have now, the first product was launched 2 years ago. So now, already within the 2 years, we have gained lots of experience and launched new features, and we continue to do so also in the future. So yeah, we are expanding in, you know, both geographically, but also with our own portfolio.
Interesting. And yeah, thank you for coming to our podcast today.
Thank you.
A special offer for our listeners. We are giving you full access to statistics for 30 days by registering at statson.com with the code STATZON, spelled in uppercase as STATZON. And thanks for listening to our podcast. Visit our website and get our Tech 360 newsletters. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe, recommend the podcast to your colleagues, friends, and family, and follow us on social media.